Welcome to Onc Live On Air. In today's episode, supported by SpringWorks Therapeutics, we spoke with Christopher L. Mortal, ND, about the evolution of treatments for neurofibromatosis type 1 associated plexiform neurofibromas. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Mortal discussed the expansion of the NF1-associated PN treatment paradigm to include the MEK inhibitors mirdametinib and selumetinib, the benefits of offering treatment options in oral formulations, the toxicities associated with MEK inhibitors, the importance of managing these adverse effects to ensure long-term treatment adherence, and the need for continued oncology education to optimize treatment outcomes for this population.
Thank you, Dr. Mortel, for joining me today to talk about a little bit of the advances and ongoing work within the NF1-PN space. What is the current standard of care and kind of how you approach, treatment for these patients, just given how symptomatic and, different this disease can present?
Well, that's a great question because the standard of care has evolved quite quickly over the last 10 years. In the olden days, the NF1-PN treatment schema was very difficult and usually fell to surgery, which was most of the time not very successful because of the potential of these tumors to regrow. So people would have so-called debulking operations and the tumor would grow right back again. Over a decade ago, a series of clinical trials were started, mostly headquartered or facilitated by the NIH. And quite a lot of work was put into various clinical trials with really varying but mostly middling success. And then over a decade ago now, we sat down as a group facilitated by the Children's Tumor Foundation to look at potential drugs, and we came upon MEK inhibitors. And the MEK inhibitors at that time had been tried in some animal models, but we then went into it with greater gusto and did some very thorough testing. One lab in particular, Nancy Ratner's lab out of the University of Cincinnati, had an excellent NF1-PN model. And we checked out MEK inhibitors through that model and came up with some really sterling candidates. The MEK inhibitor space has exploded, not just for the treatment of adult malignancies such as melanoma, but also for brain tumors and now plexiform neurofibroma. And the first that came upon the scene and was approved by the FDA was selumetinib. And now most recently, mirdametinib, otherwise known as Gomekli. We're really gratified now to have these drugs available for children and adults with NF1-associated plexiform neurofibromas. And indeed, they've shown us through clinical trials and now everyday use that they're quite effective in improving the quality of life of these patients. Since the discovery of the NF1 gene, neurofibromin, we discovered that that turned on the MAP kinase pathway. And the individual components of that MAP kinase pathway include RAF or BRAF, which is inhibited in a lot of different cancers, MEK, and then after activation of MEK, that activates ERK, and ERK then to cause cell proliferation. By targeting MEK specifically, we don't have to be super specific, and we can be selective in MEK inhibition, and we found that to be tolerable, and it prevents the end result, ERK activation, which causes cell proliferation. And so we knew that chemical pathway and chose these MEK inhibitors because of their potential. Trametinib was in clinical trial through Novartis, mirdametinib through Pfizer, and then more recently SpringWorks, and then Alexion took on selumetinib from AstraZeneca and ushered that through approval. That's pretty much the story on those three.
Like you mentioned, mirdametinib was the most recently approved agent joining the space, and most importantly, it's indicated for both adult and pediatric patients. So what are the implications of now having this treatment available for both of those populations?
Well, there's two main things I want you to know about. First of all, mirdametinib is available as a pill, but also as a dispersible pill that can become a liquid that's grape-flavored and palatable. And so we do have a large subset of patients, not just young children, but people with oral aversion. There's an a certain segment of patients with NF that have autism spectrum disorder and have more prominent aversions in that way. So for young kids and people with difficulty with pills, having that orally dispersible liquid formulation, if you will, was really a great thing to see. And then secondly, having approval for adults. For many years now, we've been treating patients off-label with a number of different MEK inhibitors. And you can imagine, as I can easily as a physician in practice, trying to get insurance approval for off-label medications and all the gauntlets we have to run through to get to that. So we're grateful to finally have that label for adults.
What unmet needs and challenges still exist and still need to be addressed, you know, with novel medications and different treatment strategies that are, you know, probably under research right now?
Although we've developed these MEK inhibitors and they've been a huge hit for the NF population, they still have toxicity. And so all of these patients are susceptible to potential ocular toxicity, heart toxicity, skin, GI tract, a muscle, and this is a chronic medication. We're not meaning for people to take this for 3 or 6 months. I'm committing my patients to a minimum course of 18 months. The side effects can be prevented with antibiotics or bleach baths and good emollient lotions, and the GI toxicity can be handled by attention to diet and things like that. So if we can do the best we can to ameliorate these toxicities and enable patients to stay on for a long time, we've done a good job. But nevertheless, these drugs aren't making plexiform neurofibromas disappear. We still have the toxicity to deal with. So there's plenty of opportunity for discovery in this space to help these patients.
Beyond MEK inhibition, what are some of the other potential avenues for potential therapies, you know, that could eventually, you know, help out this patient population?
We are really gaining more and more knowledge about the biology of neurofibroma cells and the cell populations that participate in the formation of plexiform neurofibroma. We know that there's an inflammatory component. There are a lot of mast cells, neutrophils, and other things that come into these tumors. There's a large fibroblast population. And then, of course, the Schwann cell population. And that Schwann cell population does a lot of cell signaling to attract cells to the tumor. So if you think about the different cell signaling pathways, metabolic pathways, and tissue-specific targets that are available to us, it really provides a lot of potential for either combination therapies or other individual directed therapies.
Going back to the safety profile of mirdametinib and other MEK inhibitors, so, you know, do those types of agents kind of lend themselves to potential combinations just given the toxicity that you know about them as monotherapy?
I know from personal experience that we're able to combine with other medicines that have a different mechanism. For instance, mTOR inhibitors or PI3 kinase pathway inhibitors have been used quite commonly in combination with MEK inhibitors and haven't shown a marked increase in toxicity. We've had some experience with HDAC inhibitors in combination, and those too have been well tolerated. So I think right now, if you're not hitting this same target over and over again and not potentiating the MEK agents, I think overall the toxicity is going to be what you see is what you get, and it really shouldn't be much more. And in my clinical experience, we've had good luck with it.
Based on everything we've talked about and the recent approval of mirdametinib and how the, you know, space is evolving right now, what would be kind of your main takeaway for message for colleagues just regarding the treatment paradigm for NF1PN and just, you know, where things might be going in the future?
Yeah, the current treatment paradigm is surgical removal if this is a limited tumor that you're not going to cause any side effects with the removal. Don't attempt debulking unless you really find yourself in a life or limb or organ threatening situation. So we're left then with MEK inhibition as the main avenue we're going down for treatment of these patients. We know that kids down to age 2 or 3 can tolerate these medications. We know now that we have preparations that can be swallowed by all age groups and people types. So we're in a good place there. So for the general oncologist, my main message is know the toxicity of these agents well. Know the standard of practice for ameliorating those toxicities, and then you'll have success and you'll be able to keep these patients on therapy and enable them to get the most benefit out of it they can. My main message to everybody out there is to make sure that providers who are going to be prescribing these medications are well educated about the fact that these are chronic medications meant to have patients on them for years. You're not just blasting melanoma or colon cancer. So, you know, I've seen lots of instances where these agents have been used in higher doses and people have had some pretty crappy toxicity, but they know they've got a crappy disease. So they're willing to make the trade-off. If you've got somebody who's going to be living with NF for the rest of their lives and potentially living with these tumors for the rest of their lives, the blastem approach will never work. And so you've really got to be careful and thorough in your pre-medication evaluations, thorough in your education, and use the resources that are out there. Both selumetinib and mirdametinib, the people who are marketing those drugs have excellent resources for providers and patients to use.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air, supported by SpringWorks Therapeutics. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On X and Blue Sky, follow us at OncLive. On Facebook, like us at OncLive, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.